Our first case this afternoon is case number 70458, King P.E. versus St. Clair. Mr. Taggart for the respondent, and Ms. Caviglia for the appellant. Ms. Caviglia, you're first. You're on first. You have 15 minutes. You want to reserve for some time?
Yes, Your Honor, I would like to reserve 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll try to keep a look on the clock.
May it please the Court, my name is Justina Caviglia, and I'm here on behalf of the Nevada State Engineer, who is present today with senior staff members. Nevada is the driest state in the nation. As the driest state, having a clear water law is imperative. The State Engineer has appealed the District Court's decision and is asking this Court to clarify whose intent is relevant in the context of abandonment. Whether or not the District Court exceeded its authority by granting an application the State Engineer did not vet, and whether the District Court erred by expanding the record. The first question the State Engineer is asking this Court to answer is whose intent is relevant when the State Engineer reviews whether or not a vested water right, or as in this case, a claim to a vested water right has been abandoned. The historic practice of the State Engineer when reviewing the legitimacy of any claim to a vested water right, whether it's for surface or groundwater, is to review the entire history of that claim, from the point beneficial use began through all of the owners to the current owner today. It is important to note that this is a claim. This claim has not been adjudicated, and it is many times claims are not upheld by either the State Engineer or the District Court. Claims are often reduced in the amount of water that's allocated. They're often found to be rejected based on the date beneficial use began. They're also deemed to be found abandoned. When reviewing these claims, the State Engineer likes to analyze the entirety of the claim, not just the use or non-use or the desires of the current owner, which is what happened here. This review has routinely resulted in claims to vested water rights being abandoned, not based upon the intent of the current owner wanting to revive a water right, but based upon the intent of the prior owner's actions and non-use. This process occurs in all adjudications, as well as the situation we have here, where we had an individual file not only a claim, but a claim and an application to change that water right from where it was located. In order to be a prudent water manager, which is his role, the State Engineer must ensure that the claim is valid before he proceeds with any other application. As this Court is aware, abandonment is the union of acts and intent, and under Nevada law is a question of facts to be determined from all surrounding circumstances.
Ms. Caviglia, on that point, in looking at the State Engineer's decision, there's a reference and citation in a couple of instances to U.S. versus Alpine Land and Reservoir. But as I'm sure you know, and is partially recognized in Judge Kosach's orders, there have been some subsequent decisions by the Ninth Circuit involving those same parties, most recently in 2007. What my question is, those cases, or most recently those cases, set up some additional factors that would be considered by the State Engineer in the overall circumstances, the totality of the circumstances in making an abandonment determination, one of which is the payment of taxes and assessments, as an example. Should this case be remanded for the State Engineer to look at this matter again in light of the Ninth Circuit, subsequent Ninth Circuit decisions that are not cited in his decision but have come down since then?
Those decisions are very specific to the Truckee River. They are surface water. This was groundwater. In the Truckee River, you have TROA. TROA assesses groundwater right or surface water right users along the entire river. There is no assessment in the state of Nevada for groundwater rights. There is no separate tax for groundwater rights. So there is nothing the State Engineer could look at to show that these prior owners were paying tax on the water, because this is groundwater. It is very different than those cases that come out of the Truckee River or any other surface water user.
I understand that, but what about the use of the factors?
Many of those factors, the assessments, the taxes, would not apply in these cases with groundwater. The court could remand it back to the State Engineer to look at those assessments and factors, but the question the State Engineer is posing to this court is whose intent is relevant. What we looked at, what the state engineer looked at, was the owners who had this property for 89 years. The owners that did not use the water from the 1950s at best. The owner that let the pump deteriorate. The owner that took the pump off the water rights. The owner that allowed the land to go fallow. That's who we looked at. What the district court did in this case was look at Mr. St. Clair's intent. By looking at Mr. St. Clair's intent, of course the new owner is going to want to resurrect a water right. So what we're asking this court to do is clarify when we do look at these abandonments, whose intent we need to look at. The factors would be beneficial, but at the same time, do we look at Mr. St. Clair's intent or do we look at the prior owner's intent?
Is there any difference to the fact that this is land acquired under the Homestead Act prior to the water law that seems to make a difference too, doesn't it?
It does make a difference, and there are some questions. What Mr. St. Clair applied for was a percolating groundwater right, which I was going to get into in the next section with regarding the approval of this application. Percolating groundwater rights under NRS 534, I believe it's, I don't know the statute offhand, but if they are water that the course and scope is unknown. So we don't know where this water goes. If it was a groundwater right from the defined aquifer, it would require a 1913 priority date, the date that was before this DOE was granted. So that is one of the questions we would have to look at is when the DOE was granted. Does it fall under the defined aquifer? Does it fall under the percolating water? But to go to the second argument that we have is when the court granted these applications, one of the questions is that percolating water the same water under the new location, or is it different water? It's not part, they didn't ask for defined aquifer water. They did not meet that criteria, so that would be one of the questions that would still be raised.
Is that a reason to send it back to the state engineer for further evaluation? Abandonment's a pretty significant outcome.
If this court does uphold the abandonment, it would be a reason to send back the application. The application was granted by the court without any evidence in the record other than Mr. St. Clair's arguments that no one else would be harmed. But there was nothing to base the granting of that application on. Yeah. The state engineer found that the base right had been abandoned and didn't go any further, which he's not required to do. So that if this court does uphold the abandonment, that would be a basis to send it back to the state engineer on remand. This was a temporary application. However, Mr. St. Clair has subsequently filed for a permanent change application. So that would also come up in that context as well. But the state engineer is asking.
I'm sorry, before we begin, is it Ms. Cavilia?
Yes.
Am I saying that correctly? Before we leave the taxes and assessments, while I appreciate it's not necessarily taxed separately, you'll agree the value of a property is increased when water rights are appended to that property.
That is correct.
And so by definition, you're going to be paying higher taxes on that property as a whole if there's already water rights attached to it.
Correct. And that would go to the, I guess, what the assessment looks at. So in this case, no one knew this water right existed until 2013. No one was using the water. None of the neighbors were aware of it. There was just a claim filed in 2013. So even though the original land had the well on it, it's fallow land. It's basically bare land, and it has been for quite some time. So that would be a factual question of whether or not the assessor even additionally attacks this property more than what they would normally do for just a fallow piece of land. So what the state engineer is asking you to do is to look at some other case our courts. Colorado has had this question come up. The state engineer has cited to Haystack, Purgatory River, and the Twin Lakes cases. In Colorado, the court has found that subsequent purchasers, like here, who are merely attempting to revive what is already dead, should not be able to overcome the abandonment simply based on their intent to reinstate this water rights. The state engineer is not asking this court to stretch too far. This court has mirrored Colorado law before Nevada water law. It adopted Batcher, which was the anti-speculation doctrine that came from Colorado. Furthermore, the state engineer's reply brief cites to one of the federal court's cases from 1910 that also discusses that once a water right has ceased to exist, it cannot be resumed again against intervening water right holders. In this case, one of the issues is the fact that Mr. St. Clair would not be able to have water right in this basin unless he had a vested claim or unless he purchased it from another property owner, because this basin is not only fully appropriated, but over appropriated. So all of the water right holders who have used their water throughout this time period had no notice that this water right ever existed, will now be pushed back because as a senior vested water right holder, Mr. St. Clair will be able to jump to the head of the line. The state engineer does not think that should be allowed. Furthermore, St. Clair has continued to argue that the state engineer switched his burden. The state engineer did not file this application. Mr. St. Clair did. This court recently found in Eureka 2 that the onus is on the applicant to prove his application, or in this claim, the claim. The onus was on Mr. St. Clair to prove that he had a vested water right when it started, that it continues, and that it is still valid today. He also had the onus to provide evidence that the change application should be granted. I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay. Mr. Taggart?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chief Justice, Associate Justices. May it please the court. My name is Paul Taggart from the firm of Taggart and Taggart here in Carson City. I represent Mr. Roddy St. Clair, who owns John Burr Ranches, who's here with me in the courtroom, and I also have Timothy O'Connor here with me from my law firm. The first point that I want to make is that the state engineer applied the wrong law and was properly reversed. The facts the law is undisputed on what abandonment constitutes in Nevada. There must be a union of acts and intent. Non-use of water is the physical act, and that must be coupled with the intent to abandon. Both elements, the physical act and the intent, have to be proven by clear and convincing evidence. And the burden to prove abandonment is on the proponent of abandonment, the state engineer in this case, and that burden never shifts to the water. So these principles are not disputed.
Well, the burden is disputed.
No, I don't think it is. I think the state engineer has conceded that the burden, because they're saying they didn't shift the burden to my client. If you go back and read the order of the state engineer, he cites to the Ninth Circuit. This is the crux of the case. In that order, which is Joint Appendix, page 18, the state engineer cites to the Ninth Circuit, U.S. v. Alpine, and he says, at a minimum, then, proof of continuous use of the water right should be required to support a finding of lack of intent to abandon. If we look at those words carefully, and they're read plainly, what they say is, if a water right owner cannot show continuous use, their water right is abandoned. Well, that cannot be true because non-use is the physical part of abandonment. So that particular language was referring to an inter-farm transfer condition in the Alpine case, which is a very special circumstance that the court went back and forth three times. Judge McKibben entered a number of orders in the Ninth Circuit, entered and remanded, and went to the state engineer a few times. And they were carving out an exception for what were called inter-farm transfers. So this is the crux of the problem with this case, is the state engineer cited to that statement, and then subsequent in the ruling on the next page, which is Joint Appendix 19, the state engineer says that he finds that there is no evidence pointing to a lack of prior owner's intent to abandon the water right. And he also references my client's failure to present evidence of the lack of intent to abandon. So it's clear that they shifted the burden to my client. They're arguing now that they didn't, but they did. And that's it. As soon as you make a finding that they shifted the burden to my client, then their decision needs to be reversed. The other concern is that the state engineer relied exclusively on non-use evidence to declare abandonment. There are three pieces of evidence that were considered by the state engineer to establish non-use. Based on those three pieces of evidence, the state engineer then shifted the burden to Mr. St. Clair to show lack of intent to abandon. The three pieces of evidence are aerial photographs, the condition of the well, and the fact that St. Clair did not present evidence of continuous use. Obviously, the third one we think is improper, but with respect to the aerial photographs, The state engineer found that the 1954 aerial photograph that was provided by Mr. St. Clair was inconclusive regarding non-use. Then the state engineer referenced a series of other aerial photographs that were not provided in the record to the district court. I want to make that really clear. The state engineer then, sua sponte, looked at a series of aerial photographs between 1954 and 2013, referenced them in his order, but did not provide them in the record on appeal to the district court, and they cannot be reviewed to determine whether or not there is clear and convincing evidence of non-use. All the state engineer found in his ruling about the condition of the well was that it was unusable and it had gone unused for a significant period of time. That's the limit of the findings of the state engineer in his decision. There was no finding about whether a pump was in the well or was not in the well. That statement has arisen through the course of the litigation. The district court properly found that this evidence simply indicated non-use of a water rate, not an intent to abandon, and since the state engineer failed to make any findings regarding intent to abandon, let alone base such a finding on clear and convincing evidence, the district court properly reversed the declaration of abandonment. Now, with respect to intent, the state engineer never attempted to prove intent because he shifted the burden to St. Clair. The state engineer's arguments now regarding how evidence should be construed to show intent, like the existence or non-existence of a pump, are post hoc rationalizations. This court's decision in Reber v. Ray preclude the state engineer providing missing findings in a post-hearing brief. So it's improper for the state engineer to be presenting arguments today that were not the foundation of his original decision, specifically factual findings that were not contained within his original decision. Now, the district court properly considered evidence of the intent of the current owner of these water rights. Past rulings of the state engineer found that the owner did not have an intent to abandon a water right if they filed change applications on that water right and they filed title documents with the state engineer. Both of these were done by Mr. St. Clair. Then the district court stated that St. Clair had the intent to revise his water right through a change application. And specifically, Judge Kosash said, and this is in Joint Appendix 667, the law is you're not abandoning what you have the intent to when you have the intent to revise the claim. When you have the intent to apply for the application, that shows that your intent is not to abandon. Now, my colleague changes what the court said by adding brackets and SIC, SIC, to claim that the judge really said revive. He never said revive. He never intended revive. Revive was never a discussion before the district court. The district court never discussed the concept of revival, nor did he base his decision on revival. And that's because the state engineer did not identify in his ruling which, if any, specific prior owner had the intent to abandon. Revival is not an issue that was described before the district court. Revival is an argument that's being raised now for the first time. Since the state engineer never established the requisite evidence that a prior owner abandoned the water right, the concept of revival never arose. You don't need to address it. So this question about whose intent is it the prior owner, is it the former owner? They didn't establish intent of any owner, so it doesn't matter whether it was the current owner or the past owner. Now, in prior decisions of the state engineer and in prior decisions of this court, there are some factual factors that have gone into determining an intent to abandon. And those include allowing a corporation to vanish. So that was Revert v. Ray, Bullfrog Company, stop keeping its records current with the Secretary of State's office. And failing to keep records current with the Secretary of State's office has been one of those factors that's been used. Failing to answer inquiries from the state engineer's office. Failing to pay taxes or assessments. Having property sold for back taxes. Failure to file title documents. Abandoning the land. Abandoning a pipeline right-of-way. Making improvements inconsistent with irrigation. This is the Alpine case. In that case, the court found that was a significant a factual finding that could influence a finding of intent. Losing a mining claim, relinquishing a grazing right, removing railroad tracks for a water right that was where water is necessary for cooling railroad engines. These types of facts have been used by courts and by the state engineer to find intent. None of these facts exist in the current case. None of the prior owners took any of these actions, and nor were there any actions like them that were provided evidence of that can be construed as intent to abandon. Now the state engineer points only to the removal of a pump as evidence of intent. But this finding was not made in ruling 6287. State engineer only made findings regarding non-use of the water right based on the condition of the well. Now the state engineer has changed this view and is relying on a new finding that the pump was removed. But there was no field investigation done prior to this abandonment determination. There was no hearing held. It's not clear whether the pump is in the well or not in the well, or if the pump was ever in. So intent must be an active, overt choice to forsake a right forever. And certainly there's many reasons other than forsaking a water right forever that someone can remove a pump from a well. So even if the pump was removed, that is not clear and convincing evidence of an intent to abandon water right. Now there's a series of concerns raised about the order from the district court. First, the district court required the state engineer to grant a temporary permit. First of all, that temporary permit has expired. It expired on June 10, 2017, and this issue can be considered moot because that permit no longer has any validity. However, the state engineer has not acted on the permanent change application that has been filed to take the place of that temporary application, and he has not acted despite the fact that has been ready for action for over a year. The district court properly ordered the state engineer to grant that temporary permit, one, because the state engineer applied the wrong abandonment standard, but two, because it was clear there would be no conflict with other water rights. The court asked and understood that there was no other farms in the area of Mr. St. Clair, and the temporary use was for 1 year only. And additionally, the state engineer published the temporary application. Even when you're not required to do that, he can do that based on his discretion. But when he did publish that, no protest was filed against the water application. And the state engineer did not hold a hearing. And that particular statute, 533.345, requires a hearing if the state engineer believes there could be a conflict. And the state engineer did not hold a hearing. So it's proper for the court to order that that permit be granted. Now there was issues with how the proposed order was prepared and presented to the district court. I'll simply say that Judge Kosach asked the prevailing party, my client, to prepare a proposed order. Our office prepared a proposed order. We provided a draft of that to the council for the state engineer. They objected. They provided an edited version. We provided both orders to the court. The state engineer's office then filed a written objection. We filed an opposition. We had oral argument. And so the state engineer saying today or saying in their briefs that the district court's decision that's under review is not based on the district court's actual findings is incorrect. Whatever missing findings were allegedly missing were provided by the court when the argument was heard on the objections to the proposed order. We also provided a request for judicial notice, and we required and we provided an appendix of state engineer rulings. These documents are not extra record evidence. These are documents that are prior decisions of the state engineer and prior legal arguments of the state engineer. They are not factual evidence. To understand abandonment law for water rights in Nevada, obviously we look at your prior decisions. And that clearly indicates the rules that I started my presentation with. But as practitioners in water law with no regulations to rely upon regarding abandonment, the only place we can go is prior rulings of the state engineer. Those are what were provided to Judge Kosach by Mr. St. Clair. The state engineer argues that prior rulings should not be considered, however, because his office is not bound by stare decisis. Well, his office is certainly bound by judicial precedent. And in our view, did not follow the judicial precedent in this case. because they shifted the burden of proof to my client. But the state engineer, if he has a sudden change of course from his prior reasoning, and you look at rulings through his office throughout time, and there's a change of course, that should be explained. He may not be required to follow stare decisis strictly, but if he makes a sudden change of course from his prior reasoning, that should be explained, and that should be and that explanation should be rational.
Mr. Taggart, is application number 83246T the temporary permit application
yes.
number? Is the permanent application number under a different number?
Yes.
Okay. And that number then isn't in this record?
It is in a footnote in that we provided in our answering brief.
Yeah, but not in this, not in the record in front of Judge.
That's true. That was actually filed after, well, I'm not sure exactly when in the process of briefing, but in August of 2016 that was filed.
Yeah, so it's not in the record before Kosach.
Right.
Okay.
So the question of whether you should remand, we urge you not to. This court is the final determiner of Nevada water law, not the Ninth Circuit. And so we urge you to not remand, to look at the facts, the surrounding circumstances, use the Reaver-Viray test, and see that there is not sufficient evidence submitted of intent to abandon, and therefore the abandonment should be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Taggart. Ms. Cavilla.
Rebuttal.
You have 4 minutes and 39 seconds.
First, I want to start with the pump. The pump was actually listed on the proof of, it's on page 43 of the Record on Appeal. It's the amended claim, and it was part of the proof that Mr. St. Clair provided when he asked for this water right to be granted. So the pump not being listed in the ruling is still relevant because it was part of the original application. The state engineer did not just use non-use as an intent to abandon. Non-use is turning off your water. If you look at a lot of those cases that Mr. St. Clair included in the Record on Appeal, or his judicial review, most of those cases have some sort of non-use. Normally it is 5-year period, shorter periods of time. It's merely when you turn off the water. Here, it was more than just that. It was the inability to ever use this water right again without substantial income going into it. Mr. St. Clair likes to switch the burden, but the problem is how does the state engineer ever fully vet a claim if we can't ask, where is your proof? Where is your proof not only that this claim existed in 1939, but also exists today? If that's switching the burden, then no one will ever have their water right abandoned again. As for the respect with Judge Kosach's ruling, the order that was, or the ruling from the bench at the original hearing was very short and succinct. It would fit on one piece of paper, and it's part of the Record on Appeal. In that ruling, he basically granted the judicial review. He did not grant the request for additional evidence to come in. He did not grant the application to be granted. That was all added by Mr. St. Clair after the fact. The federal court was sort of on point with this. Courts need to make their own determination. This is a factual determination. Rather, then delayed arguments of over detailed documents prepared by winning counsel. That is what we had here. We had a very delayed argument of overdrafted order drafted by winning counsel that expanded Judge Kosach's ruling. And with respect to stare decisis, this case was not based, the law that the state engineer relies upon for abandonment has not changed. And every single ruling, the statutes, the cases remain the same. The only difference is the facts. In this case, what happened by Mr. St. Clair, including all of those rulings and arguments made by other counsel representing the state engineer, was not a look at the law switching. It was looked at the application of that law's distinct facts. He did it also in the reply or the answering brief in this case. He compares the factual scenarios of those cases, not a change in law. The state engineer has not changed the law. The state engineer has not changed the way he's operated throughout the years. He's simply looking at these claims from the beginning to the end. Unfortunately, in this case, there is no proof past 1954 that this water right continued to exist today.
Ms. Cavilla, on that point, counsel mentioned that photographs or aerial photographs, I guess the ones mentioned in the order from 68, 75, 86, 99, 2006, 2013 weren't in the record. Is that right?
That is correct. I'm not sure why they did not make it into the record. They are part of the evidence and the documentation the state engineer keeps in his office. The state engineer, in his ruling on one of the footnotes, cites to all documentation records located in the state engineer's office, and that is part of that.
His footnote cites to a 1927 attorney general's opinion, but I don't, that doesn't indicate that the applicant or Judge Kosach or this court for that matter can look at those aerial photographs.
They are public record, and they probably should have been included in the record, but they were not, and I don't have an answer of why they weren't included.
Okay.
Counsel. Just, I understand non-use, but we're back to this intent to abandon. And in the record, the new applicant says he's not sure what went on before. So where do we get this showing of intent to abandon by the prior owner? Just the intent, not, as you said, non-use, but the intent.
So intent is, it's a factual question of facts and the circumstances around these water rights. This court in Friendtown Creek has stated that prolonged periods of non-use can imply intent. Walking away from a business can imply intent. In this case, a family that had owned this property right for 89 years, basically allowing it to stay desert land in the state of Nevada with nothing on it for 89 years without any water rights for over 60, we believe is intent of that owner's right to abandon this property.
Thank you, Ms. Cavilla and Ms. Pegger. Thank you both for your arguments and briefs in this matter. This matter